Thank you, Sue and Ed. Thank you. You may have heard the story before. It's about a little boy named Timmy. Timmy wanted so badly to have a little brother to play with. So he went to his dad one day and he said, "Daddy, I really, really want a baby brother." His dad said to him, "Timmy, if you will pray every day for the next 30 days for God to give you a baby brother, I believe that God will answer that prayer." Now, as you might expect, Timmy's dad had some inside information on this baby brother thing. So for the next 2 weeks, every night before Timmy went to bed, he got down on his knees, folded his hands together, and he prayed, "God, please answer my prayer and give me a baby brother." But the same time that he was praying, he was also talking to his friends, and they were telling him that never in the history of the neighborhood had anybody just prayed and a baby brother showed up. So after 2 weeks, Timmy quit praying. Well, the balance of the month elapsed, and one night Timmy's dad took his mom to the hospital. Next day he took Timmy with him to see his mom, and when they entered her room, there was Timmy's mom, and in her arms was not one, but two baby brothers. Timmy's mom had given birth to twins. And Timmy's dad recognized a teaching opportunity when he saw one, so he said, "See, Timmy, now aren't you glad that you prayed for a baby brother?" Timmy looked up at his dad. He said, "Yeah, Dad, but aren't you glad I quit when I did?" Well, I'm afraid that we in the church are often as confused about prayer as Timmy was. We hear that we have not because we ask not. And so we start to pray for something, and then we start checking around the neighborhood, and we begin to think we are the only ones in the neighborhood who have ever prayed for something, and it just happened. And so we give up. And if there is an area of all of our lives that I believe is constantly in need of renovation, it is in the area of prayer. Because prayer is the means by which God has promised to give us refreshment and vitality. And yet it is an area where we often experience only guilt and discouragement and defeat. This morning, my entire message will be devoted to the topic of prayer. And we are going to look at prayer through the life of a man from the Old Testament who God used prayer to do great things in his life and in this world. Now, James, in the New Testament book that bears his name, referred to this man as an example of a man who saw God's mighty hand at work through prayer. We can, from the book of James. "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." So let's turn back now in our Bibles to this story that James refers to in this passage we just read. The story of Elijah. It's found in the 18th chapter of the Old Testament book, 1 Kings. And before we look at the passage, let me try to give us a snapshot of the culture during Elijah's time. See, throughout its history, the people of the nation Israel had wanted a king. And so God gave them their first king, whose name was Saul. He was succeeded by David, who was succeeded by his son Solomon, who was the last king of the United Empire. Because after Solomon, the nation of Israel became divided. 10 tribes in the north and 2 in the south. And the northern nation has a succession of kings, all who are bad. And the 7th in this line, his name is Ahab, and he is the worst of the lot. It is Ahab who introduces Baal worship to the people. This was a godless, vile religion that Ahab had learned from his wife Jezebel, a foreigner he had married. And this worship of Baal ran counter to everything that the true God of Israel stood for. It was a religion that promoted infant sacrifice and promiscuous sexuality. If I were to go on to detail many of the practices of this religion, I would have to place an X rating on this service. And so this is the culture that Elijah lives in. But in the midst of this culture, God is still at work. Because a drought strikes the land. Because of that drought, a famine occurs. And then an encounter takes place between Ahab and Elijah. in which Elijah challenges Ahab to a battle of their gods. All right? Elijah is to meet on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal to see whose God is the real deal. And they each build altars to their God, in Elijah's case, or gods. And the test is set out. Let's see what happens. 1 Kings now, the 18th chapter. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Well, fine. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good. Sounds like a good test to me." And all day long, the prophets of Baal chant and dance around their altar. Nothing happens. Then it's Elijah's turn, and he prays to the Lord God. Pick it up in verse 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" See, it is very clear now whose God is the real deal. But Elijah is not done yet. Remember, there's been a famine throughout the land caused by a terrible drought that has led to this confrontation on Mount Carmel. And now that Elijah has Ahab's attention, pick it up in verse 41 if we can. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. He went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." Seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Elijah prays. For 3.5 years it has not rained. And then a tiny cloud as small as a man's hand appears. Elijah says, "You better check out your sump pump, Ahab, because a rainstorm is on its way." Pick it up again, verse 45 and 46. "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." One writer wrote the following: "The great people of earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor even those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those who pray." Jesus himself modeled the importance of prayer for us. If you were to read the first 34 verses of the first chapter of the book of Mark, you will read about a very busy day in the life of Jesus. He's teaching and touching and healing. The day starts early, it ends late, and then we read this in Mark 1:35. "Very early in the morning," this is the next morning, "while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So let me ask you, if there was a passage in the Bible describing a busy day for you, how would it read? "After a busy day in the office and a night spent shuttling my kids to various events, very early the next morning while it was still dark, I turned off my alarm and got an extra 30 minutes of sleep before starting my day." See, prayer was vitally important to Jesus and to Elijah. And the question we ask this morning is it vitally important to you and to me? So let's look at Elijah's experience and see if we can draw out some principles of prayer for us to apply. We are going to call these the 6 P's of prayer, all right? The first one is the importance of prayer. I know, but I'm only marginally creative. I can only come up with one of the six, all right? But let's look back, if we can, at the beginning of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18:1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. Remember, this is before the passage that we've just been reading. This is the beginning. So God has told Elijah, I am going to send rain to refresh the land after this 3.5-year drought. Then they have this battle of the gods, and then Elijah begins to pray for rain. Now you may ask the question, David, if God has already promised that it's going to rain, why did Elijah need to pray for something that God has already promised that he is going to do? And the answer, I believe, is this. God not only ordains the end, he ordains the means as well. And I believe that there are times that God reluctantly withholds some of the blessings he wants to give because he is waiting for the people of God to pray. And when we don't pray, we hinder the work of God. It was Jesus who said, you have not because you ask not. I heard the following story. It's kind of an allegory, but a man dies and Peter meets him at the gates and takes him on this tour of heaven. They walk together down these streets of gold and they enter into this palatial building. And as they are walking through the building, the man notices one particular door. And so he asks Peter, what's in there? Peter says, you don't want to see that room. But the man is persistent, so Peter unlocks the door, and they enter into this large warehouse-like room. It's filled as far as the eye can see with box upon box piled high to the ceiling. So what's in those boxes, the man asks. Peter says, you don't want to know what's in those boxes. Yes, I do. So Peter takes one of the boxes down, and the man realizes that the boxes are in alphabetical order with a person's name on each box. Peter, do I have a box here? Peter replies, yes. So the man starts looking for his box because if there is a box with his name on it, he wants to see what's in it. So he finds his box, opens it up to look inside, and then he realizes the tragedy. Because inside of that box are all of the things that God wanted to give him, but he never asked. You know, a prayer we often hear quoted is the prayer of Jabez. A best-selling book was written on this. Let's read that prayer. It's found in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, 10th verse. Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Now, at first glance, this seems a little selfish, doesn't it? I mean, Jabez starts with, bless me. He doesn't start with, God, bless the missionaries in Africa. He says, God, bless me. In fact, in the original language, it's intensified. It reads, God, really bless me. Don't just pour out a thimbleful of blessings. I want a whole bucketful. And although it may sound a little bit self-absorbed, I think it's okay. Now, I am not advocating a prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying that if you pray, God, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz, that you will wake up with a luxury car in your driveway. God is not some genie, and prayer, you're Aladdin's lamp to get everything that you want in this world. But God does want you to pray for the things that are on your heart, the big and the small. And he wants to bless you. Here's another story, not an allegory like Peter taking the man on a tour of heaven, but this is a true story. About a little boy named Billy. Billy's dad had a good job making lots of money, but he felt that God was calling him to full-time ministry. So he left his job in engineering and he enrolled in seminary. And as you might expect, things got a little bit tight financially for this family. So as Billy began to outgrow his clothes, there wasn't money for new clothes. Well, Billy brought this to his parents' attention, and so that night, they prayed specifically for a new shirt for Billy. And every night, Billy made sure they included a prayer for that new shirt in their family prayer time that they had together every single night. Well, there just happened to be an owner of a clothing store in the community who knew of the family and he needed to reduce his inventory. So the owner called Billy's mom and he said, I was wondering if you could use any shirts. Mom asked him, what size? He said, well, all I got are size 12. Which just happened to be, yeah, Billy's size. So she said, that would be wonderful. How many do you have? He said, I've got a dozen. and they're yours. Now, I don't know what you would have done with that, but what this family did was at prayer time the next night, when Billy said, "We can't forget to pray for my new shirt," the dad said, "Well, Billy, we don't need to pray for that new shirt anymore." "Really, Dad? Why not?" And on cue, one of his older brothers went out, picked up one shirt, brought it into the room, and placed it down in front of Billy. Then another sibling went out, got a second shirt, brought it in, and put it down. Then comes a third shirt, and a fourth, and a fifth, until there were a dozen shirts sitting there. Billy thought that God was opening an American Eagle outlet in their home. But you know what? There is a young boy who will always remember that God answers prayer and that God cares enough about one little kid to even provide the right size. God longs to bless us, but we must ask. A second P of prayer is power. Elijah realized that there was power that would be unleashed when he prayed. God's power. That's why when the servant kept coming back and saying, "Elijah, there's no sign of rain," Elijah kept sending him back 7 times until finally the servant says, "I saw a tiny little rain cloud." And Elijah says, "See, I told you, it's going to pour." See, Elijah wasn't like many of us who, when we pray for something and it doesn't immediately happen, we give up. Because deep down inside, we're not really sure that God has the power to answer our prayer. Not Elijah. Elijah really believed that doors would be opened through prayer that would have remained locked otherwise. He really believed that. I'd like us to look now at an amazing scripture from the book of Revelations. Revelations, the 8th chapter, the first 4 verses. "When he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand." A lot of imagery there, but you know what? We tend to think of events on earth being interrupted by actions taking place in heaven. But here it's the other way around. All of heaven comes to a standstill. All of the songs of the praises of the heavenly host that we've read about in earlier passages, they all come to a stop. Why? So that the prayers of the saints, and who are the saints? They are the followers of Christ like you and me. So that our prayers can rise to heaven. Friends, your prayers matter more than you will ever know. And what goes on this earth happens often because people pray. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Yet we often act as if there is no power in our prayers. And so we don't really expect much to change by virtue of our praying. And this is not a new phenomenon. We see this in the early church. This is evidenced in a story from Acts 12th chapter. You can read about it later. But Peter is in prison, and so the members of the church gather together to pray. And what do they pray for? For God to get Peter out of prison. One of their leaders, James, the brother of John, has just been executed. And they're expecting Peter to be next. So they're praying for a miracle for Peter. Well, that night an angel shows up, the jail doors are flung open, and Peter walks out, a free man. Now, this was no big deal for God. The bigger challenge for God was in convincing the people who were praying that he had answered their prayer. As Peter shows up at the house where they have met to pray, and he starts banging on the door and yelling, "Hey, let me in." And all the while, the people on the inside are continuing to pray, "God, please get Peter out of prison." Finally, they can't concentrate on their praying because of the loud banging at the door. So they send Rhoda, a servant girl, to check out who's at the door. She comes running back and says, "Hey guys, it's Peter." "Rhoda, it can't be Peter. Peter's in prison. We are praying for God to release Peter from prison." So Rhoda goes back for another look, returns again and says, guys, it really is Peter. And what do these expectant prayer warriors say? Oh, it must be Peter's ghost. See, they didn't really believe that God's power would be unleashed to get Peter out of prison. And so often we pray not really expecting God to do a mighty work through our prayers. Friends, I want to tell you something. There is power in prayer. Third P, perseverance. Perseverance. Friends, God knows that as fallen human beings, how easily we can get discouraged or bored or distracted and not really focus on praying, even when we're in the act of praying. How easily our minds will wander all over the place. We've all experienced this. We're praying, Lord, please forgive me for losing my temper with my son this morning. My son, Lord, my son. Now, he has soccer practice tonight. Who's picking him up, me or my wife? Am I the only one this ever happens to? So often we only go through the motions of praying. How often do you find someone will say something to you that they need to be prayed for, and you'll say, I'm going to pray for you, and you saying, I'm going to pray for you, is the extent of your prayer for that person. Anybody here besides me ever do that? Boy, I'm really alone up here on the stage today, aren't I, huh? Let's look at a verse, Colossians 4:2. This is Paul writing. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul says, devote yourself. This is not a casual deal. It's not a few words casually uttered as you run from one event to the next in your day. Devote yourself. James in the New Testament passage we read said Elijah prayed earnestly. The passage we read from 1 Kings, it says that Elijah bends down to the ground, puts his face between his knees, separating himself from everything else that was going on around him when he prayed. Elijah's intensely focused on his communication with God. And you got to persevere when you pray. And the fourth thing you need to do is you need to be persistent in our praying. This concept is highlighted by Jesus in a parable he told. Look at Luke 18, if you would. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, the judge did. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and get it quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Don't give up, Jesus says. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. Don't give up, Jesus says. Don't lose focus, Jesus says. You may be familiar with this story. This little kid is at home, and the phone rings, and the kid answers it. There's an adult on the other end. The adult says, is your mom there? Yeah, the little boy answers. Can I talk to her? No, she's busy. Well, is your dad there? Yep. Well, can I talk to him? No, he's busy. Is there anybody else there? Yeah, there's a policeman at my house. Can I talk to him? No, he's busy. Anybody else? There's a fireman here. Can I talk to the fireman? No, he's busy. All those people at your house, and they're all busy? Yeah. Well, can I ask you what they're busy doing? And the little boy said, they're busy looking for me. See, this boy would not be distracted, would not be diverted from the task before him. And we need to have that same attitude when it comes to prayer. And this isn't easy. because there are so many things that will draw us away from spending time in prayer. And that brings us to our fifth P, and that's the need to develop a pattern of prayer in our lives. Now, this is where we're going to get real practical here. I'd like to look at Colossians 1:9 if we can. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with all the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We have not stopped praying. See, you will never develop the consistent prayer life that God intended for you until you build a habit of prayer into your daily routine. A time each day when you have a focused time of prayer. And human nature being what it is, you know, I think it is best when it is the same time each day, this focused time. Because as with any discipline, if we don't have a set time built into our schedules for that discipline to occur, we often find that another day and then another week has gone by without that discipline taking place. And so that is how you build a pattern, a habit into your life, something that its existence doesn't depend on how you feel on a particular day. You do it at the same time each and every day, no matter what. Also, do it at the time in your day when you are the most alert. Many people tend to think that it is always should be when they first get up in the morning, their time of prayer. Well, what if you are not a morning person? You may be the kind of person that God doesn't want to talk with first thing in the morning, okay? So, if that is you, when you first get up, take a moment to thank Him for another day that He has made. Give that day over to Him, but then set aside your directed time of prayer for a different time of the day. Maybe it's after supper as you release yourself from the day's stresses. Maybe for you it's before you go to bed. You pick what's best for you, and then you be consistent with it, and it will become part of your daily existence. As a church, to help you in this, you might, when you go out today, you're going to see nothing fancy, but you're going to see these little blue notebooks out there. And inside here it says, Cedar Run Community Church Prayer Journal. And I want every single one of you to grab one of these little notebooks on your way out. Now, you may have something else that you want to use for this purpose. You don't have to use this. This can be your reminder. But we're asking you for the next 30 days, for every single one of you to every day set aside a time, that same time each day, and you just spend it praying to God, and then you write down the things that you prayed about. And you'll be amazed as you look back down the road on that 30 days of how God worked in your life. And I'm hoping this 30 days is only just the beginning. And if you reach 15 days on the 16th day, you're getting ready to stop. Remember our story about Timmy at the beginning, okay? I want you to keep up with this, and hopefully it'll continue. We're looking forward to it. The communion service we're going to have in October, and having just a rich time of people coming and saying what happened in their lives during this 30 days of prayer and how God answers some of those prayers. And again, that 30 days is hopefully just the beginning for a lifestyle and a lifetime of prayer. And so we want to encourage you, and this is just a way for us to encourage you with this. Mark shared with you earlier some of the community things and ways for prayer, but this is on a real personal level. So everybody, grab your journal today, and just know, for people that aren't here today, we're going to be offering these every Sunday for the next 30 days along with a tape of this sermon, and asking everybody in this church to be grabbing one. All right, next, final P, pray with purpose. We looked earlier at the prayer of Jabez. After praying for God to bless him, Jabez didn't leave it there. His prayer wasn't just, God, bless me. He then says, God, enlarge my territory. Expand my borders. And what Jabez is saying is, God, expand the borders of my impact for you. And that needs to be a part of the prayer that we all should be praying. That God will begin to expand the borders of our ministry for Him. That we'll begin to be able to influence more and more people for Him. Colossians 4:3-4, picking up after Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. He goes on to say, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul prayed for God to use him to share his wonderful gospel with more and more people. So maybe you need to pray for the person in your world who is the farthest of anyone you know from God right now. You need to pray that they would be touched by God. Maybe you need to pray for the healing of the most difficult relationship in your world right now. But pray with a purpose beyond just bless me, God. It's okay, bless me, God, but have a purpose beyond that. Pray boldly for God to transform others with his love. Pray for him to continue to transform you, to continue to change you, and to make you more like him. Because friends, and this is the bottom line, we all need to be more dependent upon God. And prayer is one of the primary ways that dependence gets revealed and nurtured. One last story and I'm done. A year ago, Nadine and I traveled to Knoxville with our oldest daughter, Melissa, for orientation in preparation for her first year of college. Many of you parents here have just recently had a similar experience. We also took with us our younger daughter, Allison. And since Allison, at 6 years old, wasn't too thrilled about sitting through Melissa's orientation classes, I took her to the Knoxville Zoo while Nadita and Melissa did the orientation deal. Well, while there, Allison and I saw this petting zoo, which was filled with these baby goats. We got a couple of bags of animal food. We went into the pen with all the goats. And I turned away for just a moment, and I lost sight of Allison. And so I was just standing there when I heard this little voice cry out. And I knew it was Allison. I just didn't know where she was. Well, I quickly located her off in a corner, holding her little bag of food, totally surrounded by baby goats, and terribly, terribly afraid. See, what had happened was that her borders had expanded beyond what she was used to. And it was a scary deal. So I came up and I placed my arm around her and we fed the goats together. And she loved it. You see, as long as my hand was on her, she was fine. As long as God's hand is on your life and you are depending on him, you are fine. And one of the best ways for you to both know he's there and to place your dependence on him is when you pray. Let me pray now as the rest of the worship team comes forward. Oh Lord, may we be a church that prays. Lord, not necessarily through a lot of institutional ways to dictate it, but through a people who are in their own personal, individual lives, committed to praying with you consistently, persistently, every day. Lord, that's the only way that we'll be changed from the inside as we become more aware of your loving care for us, no matter what we're facing. As we come more to understand how much we need you, how much we need to depend on you, and how faithful you are. Oh Lord, the prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much to change us and to enable us to change this world for you. Lord, are we here at Cedar Run ready for that challenge? I pray that we are.